Today is the Yortzeit, the altar of Slabodka, the original Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Some of you may know of his descendant, who was the former Rosh Hashiva, Yeshiva Smir. But the altar of Slabodka, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, was one of the major personalities in the Mussar movement. And when we think of Mussar, we tend to think of like the negative form of Mussar. We think of sort of taking a critical lens towards who we are, and kind of focusing on the shortcomings of who we are as people. And the reality is that there actually were two major schools of Mussar. One of those schools is ones we always think of, which was actually centered on the notion of what's called Shiflos HaAdam, the lowliness of man, the shortcomings of man. And this is really, I think, summarized in the school in Nevardik, where in Nevardik they used to go to sort of create a sense of humility and selflessness. So they used to do these different types of maisos, certain actions, to generate a sense of humility. One of those examples they used to do is, for example, they would go, imagine you go to a hardware store. So to go to a hardware store, you know, it's pretty normal to ask for some nails, to ask for a hammer. But imagine you go to the hardware store and you say, excuse me, where can I find your Italian silk ties? They would look at you like you're crazy. Like, what's wrong with you? You're stupid. You're such an idiot. And so they would do these actions in order to go around, to really almost like embarrass themselves in order to create a sense of humility and of shiflos in order to not become too haughty in who they are. So, but that's one perspective of what Mussar is. The other perspective, which is really a huger advocate of it, is Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Altar Slabodka, was Godless Adam. Not focusing on the shortcomings of man in order to inspire him to be great, but rather to focus on the greatness of man. What are the abilities and the capabilities that each and every one of us have, and to use that as a motivator in order to achieve the best things. And so I think this is a great example. This is a type of approach that he took in Slabodka, in the yeshiva there. I think that this piece we're going to learn together this morning is a great example of that perspective of Godless to Adam, to focus on the tremendous capabilities and abilities that we each and every one of us possess, and use that as to motivate us to be great. So even the title itself already gives you an indication. He says, HaKochos HaElokiyim Shebe Adam, the divine abilities that are within man. He says, Miachova HaMutelas Ala Adam Lehidamos Lekono, one of the obligations that we have, each and every one of us, is to become similar, to imitate God, our Creator. As the Gemara says, Mahu rachu mechanun afata rachu mechanun. Just like God is merciful and kind, so too we too exhibit mercy and kindness. We learn from here about the greatness of man. Asher ein lahem erech v'shiur, that has no bound or limit. Heim v'mechinas gashmis, heim v'mechinas ruchanis. Whether from a physical, material, mundane perspective, or from a spiritual, lofty perspective. He says, Bilam ben Beor, the pagan prophet, Navi Musa Ulam says, about the Jewish people, Im kalavi yakum kari nasa, he compares the Jewish people to lions. Ulam be'emes in ze'ela shvach mu'al Yisrael. He says, but in reality, in truth, this is just a very small praise to the Jewish people. Why? He be called Adam tfu'im ye'etzem yitzirato, kochos harbe yosir gedol mikol yitzirim havruim. Because saying you're like a lion, you exhibit certain strength or qualities like a lion, is actually limiting a human being. Because each and every one of us as human beings possesses tremendous qualities greater than any of the other creations that exist. The Torah teaches us that we are the apex of creation. We are created, we are formed in the image and the matter after Kadosh Baruch Hu. If it's true that each and every one of us has a tzelem elokim, and says the altar of Slabodka, it must mean that each and every one of us possesses tremendous capabilities and abilities that no other creation possesses. He keeps going, he says, however, he says, however, we see there are many great people who possessed tremendous, tremendous physical capabilities. And he goes on to tell us, he talks about how Moshe, went up to Shamayim, right? Imagine a human being is able to enter the celestial realm, the realms of pure spirituality. He talks about how Elio HaNavi, we know, went up in a fiery chariot. We talk about we talk about Shimshon, we talk about Naphtali, who was so speedy. I always think of like the Flash from comic books when I think of Naphtali, right? Because the Medrash of how when they had the whole dispute between Yaakov's sons and Esau, right? Who's supposed to be buried in the Maras Machpelah? So Yaakov's sons say, what do you mean? Esau, you sold the birthright, and part of the birthright was being buried here. He's like, well, you have no proof. So what they do, says the Medrash, Naphtali ran back to the Mitzrayim to get the deed, and then ran back to Canaan within like a couple of like seconds, or apparently minutes, like the Flash, they can't come back. It comes, oh yeah, Ashael, also another example. It talks about also about Yaakov, when he blesses his sons, he calls Yehuda Gur Aryeh. He calls about Dan Yinachash, which again, as Judah said, refers to Shimshon. Also, we know that if you flip over, the Medrash tells about, oh, go ahead, this ability. He lifted up the mountain to throw out the Jewish people. He says, you see from here, Hari Ilo Kochos, Atsumim, Genuzim, Mitivel, Shal Adam, Shu'ola Behemakol Yitzurim. He says, you see here how man possesses these tremendous physical capabilities that make him far much stronger, more mightier than mere creations. You know, sometimes they talk about, you know, there's always these stories in the news where you see a kid's trapped under a car or something like that, and what happens? All of a sudden his mother possesses the ability to lift. It's like the adrenaline. Right, but how crazy is that? How much does the car weigh?
More than a ton.
You get this mom is able to lift, to show you. So what the author wants to take from that, just on the first note, is that, you know, it's true, it's not how we're always acting. But the fact that we have that ability to act that way shows us that we are much greater than we sometimes tell ourselves that we are. He says, additionally, Avachin, Dorshim Mikol Adam Yisrael Itazer, Bekochas Gvurim Flam Eilalim Tatsam Avosabaro. In fact, knowing this, the Torah knowing this, because we know based on what God created us with these abilities and these capabilities, the Torah says, utilize them, take advantage of them, actualize them, but use them and channel them for serving God. And that's why the Mishnah Avos says, Hayun az kenemer, kal kenesher, ratz ketzvi, gibor ka'ari, lasos rotzon avi chashabah shemayim. To know that yes, as human beings, we possess tremendous strength, physical, raw strength. And to use that adrenaline, use all that power, use that emotions to serve God. And now he's going to focus now and transition to focus on not just the physical level, but the spiritual level. He says, "Ulam b'ikur dorshim mi'adam kamor shi'ala b'kochosav ruchaniim v'yagila madriga kazu shi'adomim la kochosav shal kash baruch hu kiviyachol." He says, "The main goal is to use not just our physical prowess, but our spiritual prowess to realize and to actualize the spiritual capabilities that each of us possess to be what? To be doma takarish baruch hu." You know, this is always reminds me. This is based on his teaching. To take it for a short digression, so the Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim, why should you be kadosh? Ki kadosh ani. God says, why should you be holy? Because I'm holy. So the Medrash says something crazy. It says yachol kamoni. You think it's possible that a Jew could be as holy as God? Or God is the definition of holiness, and yet we say, okay, why should you be holy? Ki kadosh ani. So the Medrash says, kamash malan. We're not as holy as God. But we knew that already. To say the Bali Musar from the tradition of Slabatka, yeah, that Havamina, Yochel Kamoni, that literally the Medrash had a Havamina, that we could be as holy as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the answer is, Maskam, you can't be. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, like, we're at the floor now. We can't necessarily get to that ceiling of Kedush where Kadosh Baruch Hu is, but we can get close to it. And to realize that each of us possesses the ability to be. The Havamina was Yachol Kamoni, but the reality is, we can't get that close, but we get pretty darn close. And sometimes we sell ourselves short when it comes to our pursuit of holiness, of Kedusha, and of growth. We think, no, it's not for me. I can't be Yachol Kamoni. So he says this idea that we are told to be Doma Dakarash Baruch Hu. Right? You only tell someone to be similar to someone if it's possible. That's why the whole Be Like Mike campaign, I always hated it, because you can't be like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, these are singular athletes. But like, you know, I could be like, I don't know, what's Seth Curry? Give me like Steph Curry. Give me like Steph. You can be like Steph Curry. I was always thinking, like, you know, they talk about like the 10,000-hour rule, that if it takes about 10,000 hours to master something. So if I played basketball for 10,000 hours, I wouldn't be LeBron James all of a sudden, because I'd still be a 5'11", you know, Jewish, you know, male. You can't really jump that high. But I could probably be, I'd probably be a really good shooter, though. To the point where I had a friend, a buddy of mine who I played in Maccabi with. He went to Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio, if you know, college ball in the NBA, that's where Wally Szczerbiak went. Wally Szczerbiak came to campus. There's a whole 3-point shootout tournament, and the whole goal was whoever won amongst the students would play one-on-one, like a 3-point shootout tournament against Wally Szczerbiak. Wally Szczerbiak, okay, when he played on the Cavs, he was a Shvach Azach, but the Timberwolves, mama, he was an all-star. A tremendous shooter, you know, slightly more athletic than average, and therefore, you know.
And beat the ballers in the PSP back in the day.
Oh. Him and Garnett, Sam Cassell, Gedoylin. No, I'm just kidding. But so they get a buddy of mine who I played Maccabi with. So he wins a tournament. He goes up against Wally Szczerbiak, and he beat Wally Szczerbiak in a 3-point shootout. Does that mean all of a sudden my friend's gonna be contracts are coming in, NBA player? No. But he played enough ball that over time he actually became such a good shooter that for that one skill, again, he didn't possess he wasn't 6'8". Right? And he couldn't move as quickly necessarily as well as Szczerbiak could, but for that moment in time, he was a better shooter. So if the Torah is telling us to be domet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means we have the ability to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. That's what it means to have a Tzal Melokim. Obviously, there's a vast chasm between us and God. There's also this expectation and this push for us to be like Him. He says, V'harei b'shol shasrei midos shebetorah migalanu Gnuzim, Gvurosav, and Rosav, Niflosh, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Volamos, Olamos, Shotov, Vechesed, Lein, Shir, Hamakifes, Kolabria. These are the 13 Midos of the Torah. So again, could be 13 Midos that the Torah is learned through, but also 13 Midos of Rachamim that God reveals to Moshe. Reveals to us all the strength and the amazingness of God and all the worlds of His Tov and His Chesed that completely encompasses all of the entire Bria. Chazal tell us, Hashem, Hashem, right? Of the 13 Midos. So obviously some of the 13 Midos. Hashem, Hashem. It's the first two. Ani hu akorim shiichta adam, v'ani hu la'achar shiichta adam yasa tshuva. God says, I am the person who has a personal relationship, right? Yud-kei, vav-kei is a personal relationship. I have a personal relationship with you before you sin, and after you sin, even when a person sins, nevertheless still, God has a personal relationship with us. He says the Alter Slabat, akorim shishnei ha-shemos ha-rishonim, hein shtei Midos. These two first names of God represent two distinct character traits of God. One is when God has mercy upon us, has rachamim upon us before we sin, but God also has rachamim on us after we sin. How great is the distance between the type of mercy it takes to relate to someone before they sin, before they disappoint you, and afterwards? Think about that in our own lives. You know, the way you interact with your friends and the type of, you know, way you react and relate to them when they're doing the right thing and they're being your friend, sometimes they'll disappoint us. Imagine how much more it takes out of us to still love that person, still support them when they disappointed us. He says, Shishorach lehosiv aminis ha-chesed va-rachim elokis ha-mechil shmo shekadosh baruch hu shebar bas kol ha-olam. Oh, midas rachim mekanam midah elokis du shemim mechil shem Hashem. He says, it takes even more. Imagine, the entire Shem Hashem represents Rachim, which was the attribute of God, which inspired God to create the world. Yeah, how much more Rachim does that take after someone disappoints us, after someone disappoints God, to still have that relationship, still want to have that relationship with that person? In order to strengthen the world, to fortify the world after a person sins. There's this major distance between the first type of the amount of rachamim that's required the first time and the second time around. Kin mamercha bin komida bemida b'shar midos haKadosh Baruch Hu ulos achas areusa betoven ubechazdan. So too is through this chain of how much God haKadosh Baruch Hu is going ahead and gives us second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And so for us as well, in our own relationships with people, with friends and family, to be also imitating God in that way. He says, "V'hinei la'achar kol zeh chayiv adam la'atiyah v'kirbo eskola midos alakiyos eila l'hagia l'madriga kazushi al bechinas domolo." the whole goal, when we read the Torah about the Yigul Amilus Sharachmim, is not just enough to know that, oh, God relates to me in this way. It means that I need to relate to other people in that way. I need to imitate God. It becomes a part of who I am. It becomes a part of the fabric of my being. Chazal, Dorshim Benotrikon, is what does it mean when the Pasuk says in Parshas Beshalach, Zek Keli Van Veyu, the Notrikon, Ani Vahu, says Rashi, Klomar Ese Atzmi, Kimoso Lidavik Bedrachav, that I need to make myself like God. And again, if the Torah is telling me I can be like God, I can be like God. We can be like God. The only one who possesses this ability is mankind. The rabbis of Malachi Mala. Even the angels don't possess this ability. That they cannot reach these tremendous levels. Slip over the page. Oh. He says, the last paragraph. He says, "La'achar sha'adam magil la'malos keila, hu bechinas ayom v'nora." If a person is able to take the 13 midos of rachamim, integrate that into their lives, and become an ish elokim, which is the goal of every single Jew, then we become ayom v'nora. Usually, if you look in ayom v'nora, you look on the from Yom Noraim liturgy, ayom v'nora refers to God. But says Chabad Kuk, who does it refer to? Ayom v'nora. Says the Medrash in Tanchuma, Ze Adam Hasholit B'Chomah Shabarak Hashem Baruch Olam. Who is it referred to? To us, to mankind. We can be Ayom V'Nora. V'Humatil Mora Kol Abruim. That our majesty filters to the rest of reality in society. In fact, he quotes here from the Gemara, Minayin Sheh Tefillin Oz Hem L'Yisrael. How do we know that our tefillin that we wear is strength of the Jewish people? As the Pasuk says, V'ra'u Kamei Ha'aretz Kishim Hashem Nikra Alecha, that all the nations of the world will see that God's name is upon you, V'yiru Mimecha, they'll fear you. They'll fear your majesty. And says Rabbi Elazar, Zed Tefillin Sheh Barosh. This, what is this thing that they see? This, what's the Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, refers to our tefillin. He says, V'im HaTefillin Kei Mevnei Shekosu Bem Shem Hashem, Alachas kama b'shosh ha'adam mizdam l'midas ha'achas shal kadosh baruch hu, ki az lo rak shim Hashem nikra alav, elo tfuah b'kir b'toch tocho. Wow. He says, if that's true, in a moment when we're just wearing our tefillin, there's a sense of aim of a year that we become ayum v'nora, how much more so? When it becomes not just external to us, but we integrate and absorb HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes. So we become, he says, tavuah b'kir b'toch, these attributes become absorbed within us. How much greater, how much more lofty do we become? You think of Malach, oh, they're so spiritual, they're so lofty. They don't have this ability. They don't have this ability to compare themselves and be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he says, certainly it's the case when it comes to the animals. The goal is, obviously, it's a process, right? Got to trust the process. But slowly but surely to integrate each of these things in different levels into our own lives of Yud Gimel Minos Harachim and become Ishim Elukiyim. Hai Hudoma Mamash HaKadosh Baruch Kivat Yachol. I mean, see how he keeps hedging. He's like, he like wants to shout out from the rooftops. We can be like God. Kivat Yachol. I mean, obviously there's still that, there's that difference. And it's a qualitative difference, it's a quantitative difference. But to realize how far we have to reach before that difference becomes apparent. So much so far in our life, we say, you know, people like to say, like in the movies, you only use 10% of your brain. It's not true. Right? We all know you use 100% of your brain. Whatever it may be. But what's the reality, though? So a lot of times in life, we only use 10% of our potential. Our potential is so high. We have so much potential, but sometimes we're satisfied in life with just fulfilling 10% of it. Are we ever going to become like a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No! But we can become almost there. And the point is to try to figure out when are we going to reach the end? And that's the journey of life, to figure out when is that a final stopping place where I can no longer get any further. Just one other point reminds me, the Gemara's Shabbos says that there are 50 gates of Chachma, and Moshe Rabbeinu reached 49 of them. It's 50, you can't reach 50 because 50 is perfection to be like God. We reached 49. So the question is, we look at our own lives, where am I at? I'm probably at like 5, maybe 6. How much more we have to go in our pursuit of chachma, of being good, ethical people, to be domed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can't get to the 50th gate, but we can definitely get to the 49th. He says, become doma to Hakadosh Baruch Hu mamish who shalit ba'ulam ve'imastu mutelsa kol abruim v'zuli mashmaso ashalat kasev. Ah, this is a beautiful explanation he gives us. Kisha Hashem Elokecha b'kirbecha kel gadol v'nora. So literally it means like, okay, God is in your midst. Says the altar, no. Hakel hagadol v'hanora nimsa mamish b'kirbo shakol adam v'adam. Where's the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Where's the greatness? Where does it lie? Not outside somewhere else. That's somewhere for you to pursue external to you. It's inside each and every one of us. How great we can become once we internalize this message. That we have almost unlimited potential. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to actualize it or not? To realize, to absorb these character traits, to become godly. Anu Omim, he says, Ke'espi mei Bahab. He's talking about this time of Bahab. Shetiknu chachamim li anus behem. That the custom was that they'd fast during Bahab on Monday, Thursday, Monday. Ubalor Zeruah kosev shemishalo yachol yis anus yimad lefachos b'tanugim. He says, Zeruah, if you can't fast, you know what you should do? At least cut down some of the pancakes. Cut down the waffles a little bit.
You can't fast when?
During Bahab, this customary time. Says the altar though, Aval Be'emes, Ein Lecha Tanu Gadol Mizeh Shiva Me'ela. He says, but you know, it's funny. He says, the greatest time of Tanug is Dafka now, during this time. Why? Kari Omri Behem Slicho Shikar Nishol Shol Yisar Amidos. Because guess what? We have an opportunity during this time period of Bahab, when we see Slichos, to remind ourselves of the 13 Midos of Rachamim. V'akavana hi lo listap yugam mirsim bepebel vad. Right, the goal of slichos, this is true for now, and I'm always a big believer, both Miriam and I are both big believers, of always that talking about tshuva the entire year. The goal of tshuva, talk about the Yigum L'Mitzvah Shel Rachamim, isn't just the conversation we have in Elul, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's rather something we have all year, and to realize it's not just enough to say something, but to internalize it, to make it a part of who we are. He says, ki mizbonin behen, lishtadol lihatvien betocho lidamos Hashem. To really reflect on them, to introspect on them, and to integrate them into who we are. Imagine like this. Everyone's like, oh, it's Bahab. So say slichos, I have to fast. It's the worst. He's like, the worst? Like, it's the best. It's an opportunity to reflect upon how great we can become, to reflect on our potential of what we can accomplish. If we would just take a moment a day, every day, to reflect on these things and to internalize them and integrate them into our lives. And how fortunate and what is someone who realizes this message, realizes almost our boundless, unlimited potential. And the question then is, what are you going to do with it? Can't be like Mike. You can be like God.